Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. We'll read verses 13 through 17 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. James 4, 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And let's finish on verse 17 together. Ready? Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, this morning the altars were packed and people being saved. Lord, as our preacher reminded us, we get to see more happen here in one morning than most churches do in a year. Lord, may we never take for granted what you're doing here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us as we listen. Change our lives. Please, we stand before you needy in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
What a great song. And might I also say, if you're a bus captain, you can get up on Sunday night and still sing. That's quite a chore. You say, why? Well, you spend all day saying, shut up, sit down, not get off. God loves you. Thank you, Brother Short. That was fantastic. In my thinking, I intend about once a year to mention the subject of tonight's sermon. The sermon tonight is called The Fault of Well-Meaning People. The Fault of Well-Meaning People. James tells us that our life is but a vapor. He says to us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. He even says in verse number 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year. So, he said, your life is a vapor. Then he mentions that we make plans for tomorrow. And then he tells us, he warns us that, but you may not have tomorrow. In verse 17, he goes as far as to say, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So get it. James says your life is like a vapor. Now, you plan to do some things tomorrow. He said you have no assurance that you have tomorrow. And then he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You sometime take the time and read James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, and you're going to find, I believe, that in these verses, James is talking to us about this assumption that we can push certain things into tomorrow, but we may not have tomorrow. And then he even goes, remember, as far as to say, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He is probably referring to that sin, if you'd like to call it a sin, or at least the character flaw of what we call procrastination. Now, folks, there's no problem with one planning for tomorrow. I think there are things that ought to be planned for tomorrow. We just should not put off to tomorrow that which should be done today. I call the sermon The Fault of Well-Meaning People. You say, why? Why do you call it that? Because many people actually mean well in their procrastination. Doesn't turn out so well. I'm not saying it's smart, but they mean well. Well-meaning people say, you know what, I'll do this tomorrow. And I'm glad they at least have some sort of at least mental effort going into it. I'd rather you say, that needs to be done and I'm going to do it tomorrow and not do it than you have no plans at all. But I think there are a lot of well-meaning people that procrastinate. Well-meaning or not doesn't mean that you got the job done and that you got it done right and you got it done in a timely fashion. But well-meaning, what is procrastination? Well, there's really a couple of words here. The word pro in this case means forward, and crastinus means tomorrow. It means pushing into tomorrow a responsibility. It is delaying until later what should be done now. Means to defer something or postpone it or suspend it or to prolong your immediate duty or responsibility beyond the proper time of its completion. That's what procrastination is. Now, I'm going to give you some observations about this thing. Procrastination is a weakness of the human race. It's yours. It's mine. We all deal with this. And I'm going to talk to you about it for a little while this evening. My sermon will not be dynamic, but I'll tell you this. It could help your week go better. It could help your month to go better. It could help your year to go better. And if you'll do what I teach you tonight, it could help your life to go better. A lot of well-meaning people never get it done. Never get it done. Sincere maybe, but never get it done. So listen to me. A very simple sermon, but I think it'll be helpful. Number one, most who put off today's duty until tomorrow will then put off tomorrow's duty to the next day. You hear what I said? Most who put off today's duty until tomorrow will then take tomorrow's duty and put it off to the next day. So what happens if you're not careful? You'll end up with a chain reaction of procrastination, a chain reaction of delays. That's how you live your life running behind. You're always a day short. Procrastination, then, is not a one-time incident, but it becomes a way of life. You know, there are people who live their life always running behind, always a day behind. It's become their way of life. A habitual delay of responsibility. You've heard of chain smokers? There are chain procrastinators. They just procrastinate issue after issue after issue. When I was preparing this sermon, I got to thinking about something that I constantly say to myself. I say to myself many times a day, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. If you ride in my car, I use scrap paper. I carry 3x5 cards. I carry a pad of scrap paper in my car with me. I'm always writing myself notes. Then I get on the phone and I'll call one of the secretaries and I'll say, we need to work on this. And once I know we're working on something, I wad up that little piece of paper that was that scrap note. And then I've got my cup holder where my coffee cup goes, and I put that wad of paper in there. And I'll get 5 or 6 of them in there. Every time I get out of the car, I take the trash to the trash can. If I get out at the post office, I grab all those papers and I say to myself, don't put it off. Take it to the trash can now. Don't put it off. Do it now. All day long, I say to me, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't put it off. You say, why? I've got a lot to do, and I really can't afford to do today's work tomorrow. I need to do today's work today. You say, well, what's the problem? Well, my tomorrow's already full. And if I shove today's work into tomorrow, I've got a really big problem. And so, I say to you, most people who will put off today's work until tomorrow will put off tomorrow's work until the next day. And before long, there is a repetitiveness of their procrastination, and procrastination has become a way of life. Number two, most procrastinators don't have much faith that Jesus could come at any time. Most procrastinators don't have much faith that Jesus could come at any time. You see, if you really believed that he would come at any time, you wouldn't be putting important duties off until tomorrow. Right. He could come. He could come at any time. If you knew 100% sure that Jesus Christ was coming tomorrow, what would you do today? Could I recommend that you probably ought to do it then? Because he could come tomorrow. Here's a sad thing. Many people have more faith that he is not coming than that he is coming. you spend your life planning for him not to come because of procrastination. And so I think procrastination shows a lack of faith that Jesus could come at any minute. Now, we're going to get even more practical, maybe less philosophical. Let me talk to you about some of the causes of this thing called procrastination. The delay of today's duties into tomorrow. What causes it? Well, one thing that causes it is poor scheduling. You all know this, and I'm going to keep talking about it. I don't think you ought to just let life happen to you. I think you ought to have a plan for your life. I think you ought to have a plan for your day and a plan for your week and a plan for your month and a plan for your year. If you do not have a plan, then you're going to find yourself becoming a procrastinator. And that is, you've got to use your time well. People that don't use their time well usually become procrastinators. The use of your time is very important. Or there are some of you, you do have a plan for your time, then you don't follow it. But I'll promise you, if you want to know what creates procrastination in the life, many times it is no scheduling of the life or poor scheduling of the life. Because then suddenly things are going to come up that need to be done, but you didn't have any plan. Therefore, you're saying, I can't do that today. I wasted my day. I'll have to push that in tomorrow. So what causes us to procrastinate? I think poor scheduling of our lives. Then a lack of concentration. A lack of concentration will cause you to become a procrastinator. Why? Because if you don't concentrate, you won't stay on track. You won't stay after what needs to be done now. You're easily distracted. So people that will not lock themselves in mentally on what's going on, they don't get what they ought to done. So there are things that have to be shoved into the future that should have been done today. So poor scheduling will cause us to procrastinate. And then a lack of concentration will cause us to procrastinate. Now, emergencies can cause a delay, but that's understandable. Listen, people say, you just don't understand my emergencies. I deal with lots of emergencies. But I don't spend my life on emergencies. I spend my life in my schedule. And then when an emergency comes, I open up my schedule for the emergency. Some people say, well, an emergency may come. And why schedule my life? Because you've got a lot to do. You've got a lot to do in life. That is, if you want to be an accomplisher, if you want to succeed. But indeed, emergencies may cause us to push something off, but we don't cause an emergency. An emergency comes upon us. And so that could cause us to have to delay. What causes us to procrastinate? Well, laziness does. Laziness. One of the greatest causes of procrastination is a poor work ethic. People that could have gotten something done in 30 minutes take 4 hours to get it done because of a lack of concentration and because of lack of poor scheduling. So they could have gotten it done in 30 minutes, but they didn't. And now, because they've not applied themselves, they find themselves having to push into tomorrow something that could have been done today. But it's laziness, a poor work ethic. What causes us to procrastinate? Depression. Depression will cause you to procrastinate. You get down and you just don't want to go forward and you don't want to put the energy into it. You might even be the kind of person that you throw your pity party. You're getting nothing done. Now, let me tell you something. If you let depression keep you from doing what needs to be done today, you'll be more depressed tomorrow. You say, look at that mound of laundry. It's 3 foot tall. Well, tomorrow it'll be 4. And then 5. One of the best ways in the world to make your way through depression is work your way through. Just keep going. Just keep going. Keep working your way through that thing. But we procrastinate. Why? I think because we don't live by schedule. And if we do set up a schedule, we don't keep it. Then we won't concentrate. We won't lock in on the duty and finish it. And then there's laziness. And then depression will come. And then I think a lot of people procrastinate because we live in a world of amusement rather than musement. The word muse means concentrate or meditate. You put the prefix "ah" in front of it. It means amuse. That's the opposite of musing. It's not concentrating. But it's like this. Today we have a problem. It's recreation over responsibility. Did you know that you are to do the responsibility to earn the recreation? You do the responsibility to earn the recreation. What are you talking about? Well, we procrastinate. We play video games instead of study. And we push our study past the test date. What happens? Well, we fail. I like to hunt. But I do my duties before I hunt. I hunt if I've earned the right to hunt. You Twitter instead of clean your house. And you put recreation before responsibility, and then responsibility gets pushed into the next day. So what causes procrastination? Poor scheduling, lack of concentration, laziness, depression, recreation over responsibility. What causes procrastination? No passion for success. You're satisfied with mere survival. Mere survival. If it gets bad enough, you'll wash the dishes because you need a clean dish from which to eat. And you want to stay alive. No passion for success. The Christian, out of all the people on the face of this earth, ought to seek victory. They ought to want victory. They ought to strive for victory. We ought to succeed. You boys that play basketball over here at Martinsburg Christian Academy, play to win. Play to win. You say, I just want to participate. Play to win. It's not going to hurt you. Play hard. Throw yourself into it. Want to win. And I don't want you to be a bad loser when you lose. But, you know, you ought to hurt when you lose. There ought to be something about that that bothers you. You ought to say, I don't like this feeling. And so, but listen, I am appalled in this generation how few people have a passion to succeed. I want to succeed. I want to win. I want to do something. I want to go somewhere. I want to make something happen. And listen, you don't have to be 20 years of age to have passion for success. Now, I don't know what kind of an attitude I'll have when I'm 61, but I know this, I'm 51, and I have a passion for success. I have a passion. I was told in the pastorate, the average man will build until he is age 40. And then he kicks into coast mode. He doesn't build after the age of 40, and he tries to live off of what he built. Fooey on that. I want to build all the way till the day I die. I've got to figure out a way to keep my energy leveled up. Let's keep on going forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. But one of the reasons we procrastinate is we do not have a passion for success. Then, I think this. I think, and this is the last one I'll give you, but I think in regard to causes for procrastination, I think one of the causes is a lack of self-leadership. It's a lack of self-leadership. You will not force yourself to be productive. And so you all know, there cannot be someone to baby you 24/7. Some of you, it's a good thing you work for someone, because if you didn't work for someone, you'd starve to death, because you've got someone telling you to be at work on time, and you've got someone telling you to get the lead out, and you've got someone telling you to work hard, and someone telling you what has to be done next. If there wasn't someone to push you, you wouldn't get anything done, because there is a lack of self-leadership. Ladies, your husband ought not have to say to you, clean the house. You ought to do it without being told. You say, we fuss about that. You shouldn't have to. Boy. I just think I'm going to stay right there for the next 20 minutes. Why do people procrastinate? There is a lack of self-leadership. You will not force you to do today what needs to be done. Young people, let me tell you something. If your mom and dad are on you about doing on Monday what you ought to do on Monday and doing on Tuesday what you ought to do on Tuesday, you ought to thank God for them. You young people try to push mom and dad away and say, I don't want you telling me what to do. You ought to thank God they're telling you what to do. You better hope that they help you to develop some personal character before you get out there in the world. Mommy and daddy are not going to wake you up when you leave home and you have to get a job and go to work on your own. And mommy and daddy are not going to be there to hold your hand, pat your belly, and rub your head when it's time to pay the bills on time. People procrastinate because there is a lack of self-leadership. And I'm not talking about a leadership that is absent of the Holy Spirit or the Scripture. I'm talking about the personal character of an individual. And so, this is what I've said thus far. I said most who put off today's duty until tomorrow will then turn around and put off tomorrow's duty to the next day. Then I said, many procrastinators don't have much faith that Jesus could come tomorrow. That's why they're willing to put major duties off till tomorrow that should have been done today. I said there are some causes of our procrastination. Poor scheduling, a lack of concentration, laziness, depression. We put recreation above responsibility. We have no passion for success and we have a lack of self-leadership. Now let me very quickly and finally, and so you know, the last point, I think, has 21 points under it. Let me tell you some common areas of procrastination that I want you to be aware of. First of all, salvation. If you're here and you're not saved, do it tonight. Do it tonight. Don't put it off. Don't put it off any farther. You say, preacher, I've been in the church for some time now and everybody thinks I'm saved and I know I'm not. Do it. Get it cared for. Never procrastinate salvation. Never put it off. You say, I'll take care of it tomorrow. Oh, you don't know you have tomorrow. Right. Don't take a chance. So, what are some areas that we should not procrastinate? Salvation. What's an area we should not procrastinate? Making public your salvation. The Bible says we ought to let people know that we've been saved. If you have been saved and you've not walked the aisle and let the people know, you ought to walk the aisle. You say, when? Right away. Right away. Do it right away. Don't put it off. The longer you put it off, probably the harder it'll be to do. So don't procrastinate your salvation. Don't procrastinate your public profession. What's another area we should not procrastinate? Your baptism. Baptism follows your salvation. Baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. It is something that follows your salvation. It is a testimony that you have accepted Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. And it's an outward testimony of that which you've received inwardly as Jesus Christ as Savior. But you are to get baptized. If you're here and you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, do it right away. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Do it quickly. What are some areas of procrastination of which we should be aware? Your church membership. Your church membership. You know, I would say that if you find a church, whether it's this one or another one, you say, that is exactly the kind of church I ought to be a member of. I mean, they believe salvation, right? They believe the doctrines of the Bible. Then why does it take so long for people to join a church? If it's right, it's right. Say, well, grandma's buried in the backyard of that church down yonder where I used to go. Well, dig her up and bring her on down here and get it over with. Oh, we put it off. We put it off. Do you put off your annual membership to Sam's Club? Why, no. Why does it take so long to join the church? Sam's Club more important than church? Common areas of procrastination, salvation, public profession, baptism, church membership. Be careful now. Don't put off today's Bible reading. Today's Bible reading. We're good at it. I'll get to it later. I'll find more time later. Don't put off today's Bible reading. Don't put off today's prayer time. Don't put it off. You need the Word of God today. You need some fresh bread for the day. You need a moment with God where you pray and you talk to God today. So don't procrastinate your Bible reading. Don't procrastinate your prayer time. A common area of procrastination, and one of which we should be aware, apologies. Apologies. Could I recommend the very moment there's any tension with two people in this church that we apologize very, very quickly. Apologize. Get it right. Get it right away. Why delay? Why waste time? Husband and wife, don't wait to apologize. Do not wait. Ladies, apologize right away. Men, accept the apology right away. I would guess probably on the onset of what will be an eventual divorce, there was an issue and an apology was not rendered nor accepted, and therefore it festered. Had you just taken care of it right away, it wouldn't have deteriorated to the point where there's divorce. Don't procrastinate apologies. Hey, folks, don't procrastinate getting involved at the church. We have involvement for every level of Christianity around here. What are you waiting on? Get involved. Stop being a spectator and become a participator. So I want to get involved. I want to do something. But these are areas where people procrastinate. Their salvation, their public profession, their baptism, their membership, their Bible reading, their prayer, their apologies, getting into the church and getting involved. Folks, if I were you, I would not procrastinate using the words, "I love you." If you love somebody, tell them you love them. Tell them that you love them. Let them know that you love them. Use the words. It's an important thing to do. Use the words. Say, "I love you," and don't put it off. You say, "Well, I'm wondering if I'm overusing the words." You're not going to overuse the words, "I love you." You can overuse the words, "Can I use the credit card?" But the words, "I love you," you're not going to say it too much to the people around you. So don't procrastinate it. Hey, and folks, listen, this is an easy one, but don't procrastinate your daily duties. Ladies, I would, if it's a daily duty to do the laundry, I'd do it daily. Don't procrastinate it. If the dishes are a daily duty, don't procrastinate it. Men, it's your daily duty to make sure that the TV remote control's working right. Don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate that. Get her done. You've got to. Don't put it off. At the end of the day, there ought to be a list of things that you got done. They're done. I didn't put it off. Some of you dread tomorrow. Why? Because everything you didn't get done today. Common areas of procrastination. Could I recommend that the thing of forgiveness not be put off? Forgiveness. So I'll forgive them when they apologize. I'd recommend you forgive them before they apologize. Or bitterness will come. Festered emotions will come. And I think if somebody does you wrong, I think they ought to apologize. But you ought to forgive quickly. Why waste any time? Why waste any emotional time harboring an unforgiveness towards someone? So don't procrastinate your forgiveness. Get it done very, very quickly. Could I recommend that you're careful not to procrastinate soul winning matters?
Yes, sir.
Soul winning matters. Folks, listen. There's somebody that needs to be saved. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, you ought to win them to Christ. Again, I'll tell, Brother Ken Davis and I were out soul winning this last week. And there is a man that I won to Christ. His name is Barja. And I wanted to introduce Brother Davis to him. I went to see Barja. And when I went to visit, I was told he's dead. I'm very glad I did not procrastinate winning Barja to the Lord. He's in heaven. Had I put it off when I had been prompted by the Holy Spirit to do it, Barja may have died and gone to hell. But I witnessed when I was told to witness. Don't procrastinate it, folks. Don't procrastinate your soul winning. I'll give you all a little advice. Everybody here that's a Sunday school teacher, if you speak, preach, or teach on the bus or children's church, or you're a Sunday school teacher or a preacher, could I recommend that you not procrastinate the preparation for the teaching of your Sunday school class? I feel a little bit like somebody probably gets shortchanged if the first time that you look at your Sunday school lesson is 20 minutes before class starts on Sunday morning. And I'll tell you this, I tell preachers all across the country, you ought to be settling your sermon as much as a day to 2 days in advance for Sunday. If not, your people are not going to be fed right. You're going to be preparing a sermon 10 minutes before the time to preach it rather than fine-tuning it. You won't preach or teach adequately with 10 minutes of preparation 15 minutes before class starts. Some of you stumble through the lesson terribly because you have no idea what it says. Don't procrastinate your preparation when you're teaching the Word of God. I may not be a good public speaker, but I will promise you, your pastor prepares. I'm a simple-minded person, and I teach in a simple way. It is not a lack of study, nor is it a lack of preparation. I may have a lack of IQ, but I'll tell you right now, I'm prepared when I come to this pulpit. I am prepared. I know what I'm going to say. I've been through it time and time and time again. And so, don't procrastinate. If I were you, in most cases, you should not procrastinate the paying of your bills. If you put it off long enough, you're going to be in a mess. Could I recommend that most of the time you ought to get the money and when you get your paycheck, pay your bills right away before your money starts going toward McDonald's? And then we get that recreation before responsibility again. You're better off getting your money out of your hands and where it goes so you can't waste it. Don't procrastinate the paying of your bills. Hey, and there's some of you need to stop procrastinating the tightening of the belt. You see some difficult times coming. See, you'll see that the overtime is going to be cut, or you see that the hourly rate you're going to be paid is going to be cut. Instead of tightening your belt when you knew it was coming, just let it go. So you procrastinated an adjustment to your finances, and now you're in a mess. Let's go on. Don't procrastinate. I would recommend that all of us work hard at not procrastinating some sort of preparation for your retirement. Don't put it off. Old age comes on you quicker than what you think. Don't put it off. And you know your pastor. I've been the pastor here for almost 10 years. I've been saying this since the very first year. I say, don't put this off. Don't put it off. Even if it's $5 a week, try to do something. Did you know if you'll give your best, God might be able to help you after that? Why should God help someone that wouldn't even help themselves? You say, well, all I got is $10 a week, then put it away. And then later on, look to God and say, God, I did the best I can. And then your God will know that you tried. Could I recommend to you, and you may do what you wish about the topic that I'm about to say, but could I recommend that you not procrastinate the buying of insurance? Legally, your car is supposed to be insured. Don't you put that off. Could I recommend that you not procrastinate life insurance? Could I recommend that you get some way to cover yourself health-wise the best that you can? Now, you say, I don't believe in insurance. Okay, then you believe what you want to believe. But those of you that do, there's all sorts of people. You do believe in it, but you just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. I love you and I'm your friend. I just recommend you not put that off. Next, I would recommend that you not put off the preparing of a will or a trust for your future. I'd make sure I got it done. And see, I deal with these sort of things on a monthly basis. Do you all realize that I've been the pastor here for not quite 10 years, but we have now conducted over 100 funeral services in this church in under 10 years. Now, I happen to know about this thing of insurance, and I happen to know about this thing of wills, and I happen to know about this thing of trust, and I happen to know about this thing of both health and life insurance. I deal with it constantly. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate it. Somebody here, you need to stop putting off getting right with God. Tonight's a night. Get it straightened out. But, you know, there are people in here, you're thinking, I'm going to. You didn't plan to live this double lifestyle for long. You plan to get it right. Why not now? The devil loves your procrastination. And then finally, if I were you, I would be careful ever procrastinating the Holy Spirit's leading on your life. Do not procrastinate the Holy Spirit's leading on your life. Hey, Has the Holy Spirit pricked your conscience this evening about something that has been said? Are you used to pushing it away and getting out of the church house and getting about your business, and you're used to pushing it away just far enough that you can put it off then? There's some. You've been convicted about something that I said tonight. I said it a year ago. You said, yep, got to do that. For instance, if I went around this house, I said, how many of you have heard me say you need to do something about preparing a will? I would have people all over this building say, I've heard you say that a whole bunch of times. And I would say, how many of you knew when I said it that was you and God spoke to your heart about the need of doing it? You'd say, that's me. And I'll say it again tonight. And it still won't get done. I'm not your dad. I'm your pastor. I happen to love you. And I'm trying to teach you something that will help you. I promise you, these things will help you. You'll be more successful in life. I'll read these verses and we'll be done. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth and for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God is virtually saying to us here, if there's something that we were to do now that we put off till tomorrow, if it's a big enough issue, procrastination is virtually a sin. You say, well, I was going to do it tomorrow. God said it's not just what you're to do. Now he's saying it's when you do it. We could actually put something good off till tomorrow, but it became a sin because of the delay. You'll have to decide what issues that might be with you. Oh, but let's be careful to live not knowing whether we have tomorrow or not. Let's be as successful today as we possibly can. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved, why don't you come tonight? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved but you've never made it public, don't put it off. Take care of it tonight. If you've not been baptized, why don't you take care of it tonight? If you need to join the church, why don't you take care of it tonight? If you need to get right with God, why don't you take care of it tonight? What things do you keep putting off? Maybe you need to come up here, get on your knees and say, dear God, I see it. I see my tendency to defer. I see my tendency to put it off. I see how I push into tomorrow things that ought to be done today. God, give me the strength. Help me to do it. I believe there are some things that God has specifically spoken to people's hearts about. I don't have to know what it is. Nobody else has to know what it is. But you need to take care of them. You'll regret putting into tomorrow what should have been done today. God even said, this could come to the point that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What? Putting into tomorrow what should have been done today. Who here would say, preacher, God has definitely spoken my heart about something tonight. And you'll raise your hand so God can see it. You may put your hand down in a moment. The pianist, the organist will begin to play. And when they do, we'll stand. And when they stand, if you need the altar, you come. It's between you and God. Hey, and I'm not saying we should not plan for tomorrow. I think we can and we should. But we should not put into tomorrow what should have been done today. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play.